grab a beverage, settle in. When you're ready, we'll begin. Joe and Pat and Michael, too, are gonna talk comic books with you.
Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast, where a couple of comic rookies, Michael and Pat, try to comprehend the world of comic books and comic-related pop culture with the help of Joe, who's just a casual comics guy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Casual Comics Cast. You got Joe here with you today. And Michael, why don't you say hi to everybody?
Hi, guys.
And our good friend Mark again.
Greetings.
Greetings, Earthlings. I'm here for your children.
I have assimilated you.
So today we are talking about Thor, right? I say it like it's a question. It's actually a statement.
The mighty Thor.
The mighty Thor.
The mighty Thor.
And all of his adventures. So, Michael, you know a little bit about Thor from the movies, right?
Yes. I knew who Thor was before the movies. I shouldn't say before the movies. I knew about Thor from Adventures in Babysitting with Elizabeth Shue from when I was a kid. So that was my first introduction to Thor.
I already thought highly of Michael. Now it just reached a whole new level.
I'm in the club, right?
You were in the club. Now you're like in the roped area.
Now I'm the president.
You're in the roped in area of the club.
You're in the VIP section.
You're in the... Very nice.
You and Shaq.
Oh, I love Shaq.
Well played.
So, what was Thor's powers and adventures in babysitting?
I don't know. The little girl wore like a Thor helmet with wings on it and roller skates. And he has a really awesome hammer. And that was it.
So we read some Thor comics today. We went back in time and read Thor number 337, which just was a coincidence. I chose that one because the other book we're reading is the new Thor series from 2020. I failed to look up the name of the actual series right now. I think it's The Devourer King, I believe, is the name of the story. And Beta Ray Bill appears in it. And so I picked Thor 337 thinking, first appearance of Beta Ray Bill in the comic books, and that was actually an interesting jumping on point, because as I looked at it, that was the beginning of Walt Simonson's famed Thor run that sort of reinvigorated the series at that time. Thor was a little bit down on the outs, and they hired Walt Simonson to come in and write it, come in and draw it, and he took it a little different direction. And it's apparently that run of comics is one of the fandom's favorite Thor runs. So,
oh wow,
we got to jump on there. And then we talk about Thor, the new series, and we'll just see where the conversation goes. But let's start chronologically this time. Thor number 337. Michael, you are looking at me sideways over there.
That was not part of my assignment.
Oh, it was.
You dropped off 4 comic books for me to read. Yep. They were all 4. Are you surprised why I was like my reading assignment was really light?
Because I texted you and Thor 337 was on the list.
Like this never happened. So educate me, people. Tell me about Thor 337.
Well,
take me back to his roots.
Let's talk about the new Thor series first, because then this is not going well. This is not going well today, people.
I feel like I'm the good student. I'm like, I read Thor 337.
Okay, I think we start at the beginning. Let's start where you tried to start and you screwed up by not sending me the right comic, but I want Mark to educate me on Thor 337.
I think we should pause for 10 minutes while you read Thor 337. Why don't you read it out loud to the listeners right now as your punishment?
I don't know that anyone wants that.
I want you to copy Thor 337 10 times.
Oh, man. I'm in trouble. I just got in the club and I think I'm already out.
It's all right. Here, miss, we're going to show you out over here. Like, your card isn't good anymore. No, I don't mind giving her, like, a synopsis, Joe, and you can tell me where I'm wrong. How much of the origin of Thor do you know, Michael? Not much? Like, the whole, like,
I know
Dr.
He's
Donald Blake?
Asgard. I don't know any of... I know he had, like, the Natalie Portman girlfriend from the movies. I know very little. I think I know enough. And I know enough of the side characters just from pop culture things, but I'm sure there's a ton of like understory that I have no idea about. So,
well, you know a lot more than you think if you watch the Thor movies, because a lot of the same theme in the first movie is really his origin. So as you might remember, Thor is a extremely arrogant war hero, and his dad doesn't think he's ready for the throne, and Thor feels like he is expected to get it, and his dad wants to teach him humility, so he casts him down to Earth, and he can't pick up his hammer. Like, that's the movie Thor 1, right? So that's really his origin story, except they changed it from the comics, which, same thing, he sent him to Earth, but he sent him basically into a human host, and his Thor, his hammer was actually a cane. And so he became a human, so he was like mortal and didn't have any memory of Thor. Like, he was.
Is he an old man? Why does he have a cane?
No, he was disabled.
Oh, okay.
He was handicapped.
He has a bum leg.
He has
Got
a bum
it.
Leg.
Okay.
And he becomes, either he's a teacher or he is a doctor, Joe. You'll have to remind me there.
He's a doctor,
Donald Blake.
Like I think in Thor 337, Nick Fury says something about him maybe being a neurosurgeon.
Yeah.
Because we need more doctors in this Marvel universe. Not enough doctors. That's what they decided.
Yeah. So he wants to humanize his son, so he doesn't. But unlike the movie, he has no memory of being Thor. He's actually Dr. Donald Blake. And long story short, he ends up realizing he starts getting memories back that he's Thor. And then flash forward way beyond Thor 337, Thor and Dr. Donald Blake aren't the same person. They actually become two different people, is kind of the whole. But in the Thor 337, he has basically a Clark Kent Superman type thing of Dr. Donald Blake is his alter ego, and he takes the cane and taps it on something, and then it becomes the hammer, and he turns into Thor.
But ooh, if he doesn't have like cane, magic trick.
Yeah.
And he's wearing the same costume that the Thor was wearing in Adventures in Babysitting.
The best.
The helmet with the wing and the little circle plate things on him.
Okay. I like it.
Red cape.
In the Thor movie, there's a nice reference because I believe he grabs like a coat or something when he's leaving.
At one point,
there's a scene where he's got the Donald Blake patch or something like that on his coat, or
I think it's when he's in the hospital or something like that. It's one of the times where he's like shirtless and he puts on a shirt and it's got like the name badge Donald Blake on it or something.
Yeah. So all of us Thor nerds are like, look, they're pretending he's Donald Blake. Look at that.
And in the meantime, I'm just like, why did you put your shirt back on?
Yes.
Something for everybody.
Winning on all fronts.
So that's the, so that's kind of the origin of Thor. But in the 337, like Joe said, there's this looming threat in the form of a spaceship, like a weird looking Star Destroyer that's going to come for Earth. And Richards, Mr. Fantastic, calls Thor saying, you're basically the only one that can stop it because it's headed straight for Earth. So please save the day.
I think it's actually, not to correct you, that guy. Well, actually.
Oh, actually, Mark.
It was Nick Fury because they sneak up on him, like in the park, and because he's got his walking stick. Right. And the one guy like grabs him. The other guy takes the stick so he can't tap it and turn into Thor. And they throw him in the back of the car, and then it's Nick Fury's car.
It is. You're right. I just get confused because it's a white Nick Fury. And right. It threw me off. And I'm like, wait a minute. Is that Mr. Fantastic or is that Nick Fury?
That actually threw me off in the one of the comics we read, too, where I was trying to figure out who is this guy. And I'm like, oh, it's Nick Fury. It's just not Samuel L. Jackson. I'm so confused.
Right. Like Nick Fury looks exactly like Reed Richards with an eye patch and a cigar.
Yes, that's why I said that. You're right. But you were that guy. I appreciate it. So he gets kidnapped in a car, and he's like, what's going on? And he's like, actually, I need you to save the day. So they take him up to the spaceship, or Thor turns into Thor. He flies away and goes into the spaceship, and he's like, there's something weird going on here. And there's this like cryo chamber, crystal chamber type thing. And this figure comes out to fight him, and it's Beta Ray Bill. That's the first appearance of Beta Ray Bill, and he fights Thor in this comic.
And they get a fight, and like as they get close to Earth, for some reason the enchantment of Odin is like if Thor's on Earth and he's not holding the hammer, he turns back into Donald Blake. So he turns back into Donald Blake, so Beta Ray Bill beats him in battle, and then it's the first time I ever saw in a comic book Beta Ray Bill picks up Thor's hammer, and it's like, somebody else is picking up Thor's hammer, that's impossible.
And he is imbued with Thor's power.
Yeah, and he gets the helmet with little wings on it.
Yes.
Amazing. So
Is
Beta Ray Bill really ugly in this comic?
Yeah, he looks like the horse face dude.
Yeah. Well, so I've seen him. We did a quiz at one point on this podcast about the ugliest superheroes or ugliest villains, and Beta Ray Bill was one of them.
Yes.
I could see that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was pretty incredible that he was able to like defeat Thor and then actually wield Thor's power, because the enchantment is you have to be worthy. And it turns out that Beta Ray Bill, his planet had been under attack by these crazy demon creatures, and his origin is that they, the people knowing their planet was going to be destroyed, there's something going on. It was like a very Superman type situation. Oh, our planet's going to be destroyed. We all have to go into hypersleep and get out of here, but we need somebody to protect us. And they took the craziest, most vicious creatures on their planet and bioengineered them into a humanoid form, and then transferred his mind and soul into that body. And that's how he's Beta Ray Bill. And he's like super strong, super powerful, great fighter. But he's sort of the protector of his people while they're in cryosleep looking for a new place to live. And that's where he is sort of worthy as this champion to hold the power of Thor. And then for the next several issues, Thor's being a baby and wants his hammer back.
But that's, Joe, like you said, why that's one of the most amazing fandom runs, is this whole idea of somebody else taking up the hammer and being able to wield it, kind of like your tragic like hero that you don't really know, kind of like an early Venom almost, of like, this, is he a hero, is he not, but he's kind of badass, so that's really cool to see. And really touched a nerve with a lot of young comic readers at the time, because it kind of blew their mind of what they thought was normal was Thor's always Thor, like, and it's like, no, it's whoever wields the hammer is Thor, so here's this new guy wielding it.
Right. It's like, if you're super worthy and you can pick up Mjolnir, now you're Thor, which is pretty awesome, because then that starts to happen later in the comics. So the in the upcoming Thor movie, no spoilers, the next Thor movie they announced is called Thor Love and Thunder. Natalie Portman's character, Jane Foster, picks up Thor's hammer and she becomes Thor.
Yeah. And the rumor is she actually has signed on for like a multiple, like she's going to be part of the new Avengers team. Like she's going to be Thor on the new Avengers, because they're trying to figure out who's going to replace each character. And there's all rumors, but that's the rumor. She's actually going to be the next Thor, which would be really cool. By the way,
he's just kind of tag along with the Guardians of the Galaxy. Just even.
That's right. Yes. And that's awesome.
I'm the captain. Yes, you are the captain.
Yes. Yes, you are. So that's 337. And it was actually long. It's probably good that you didn't read it, because it's longer than the other comics that we read.
I give myself just enough amount of time. And today I had so much extra time. And I was like, this is great. My homework was so light. I can be free.
Well, I think the other comic that I would love to catch up on if we do a Thor part two is, remember when Thor was a frog mark? There was
What?
He's got the little helmet.
And a frog? Is he like a little?
I think Loki enchanted him in some way and turned Thor into a frog. And then he went and lived with these frogs who were under siege from these badass toads, and he became their protector.
That's right.
He had a little tiny hammer.
I want to say it was Enchantress that did it, but I think you might be right. It might have been Loki. I'm trying to. That's a good thing to look up later. But yeah. He turned into a frog.
So there's a frog Thor. There's Lady Thor. It was very popular for a while.
We don't think that Natalie Portman's going to be Lady Thor. We think she's just Thor.
Well, that's what I mean. She's Thor, but she's a woman.
They didn't call her Lady Thor.
No.
Or did they call her Lady Thor?
No, they just called her Thor.
Okay. Cool.
But they didn't call Frog Thor Frog Thor either. They just called Frog Thor Thor.
Well, I mean, they might. I don't know. That's why I'm asking. Is that how they distinguish? Or
Thor, Odin's son.
That's right.
Odin's frog.
Odin's frog. The all frogger. That's what that is.
But Mark, you said you weren't a big Thor fan when you were growing up.
I wasn't. I didn't really like his story arc. But the thing is I think I told you, Joe, I didn't have the benefit of really doing a lot of research on his origin, because you didn't have the internet in the 80s. So if you didn't have friends that didn't know Thor that well, you just knew what you were reading. And I always likened him to not a very flawed character, which is what, you know, I like the flaws in the superheroes. Like, that's why Spider-Man's one of my favorite characters. But Thor always seemed to me like too close to Superman. I was like, well, he doesn't have any problems. Like, he's super strong and he's invulnerable. And I didn't know his whole background, which is why I never really wanted to do any of his reading. And then my cousin, who got me into comics, so shout out to him, his favorite character of all time is Beta Ray Bill.
Nice.
So he is like far and away, he's like, that's his favorite character in all of the MCU. And he's like, when are they going to actually get him into the movies? Like, they got to get him in there somehow. Who knows if they ever will.
They did have the Easter egg in Thor Ragnarok for Beta Ray Bill. So when the Grand Masters Arena, as they're building it up, and they have Hulk's face on there as, like, you know, the champion, but they've also got Beta Ray Bill's face on there. So at one point, he must have been there in the arena and their champion.
Right, right, yeah.
So, and so he'll probably get...
I was never a big fan. I was never a big fan of Thor, and I never read a lot of his story arcs, which is unfortunate, because like you said, Joe, there were some good ones there. I just never got into it.
For Beta Ray Bill fans also... do you remember World War Hulk, the Hulk series, Mark?
Yep.
Yes, they made an animated version of that. And in World War Hulk, when Hulk gets that planet, which is kind of where the genesis of the Grand Masters Arena came from in the Thor Ragnarok movie, in the World War Hulk animated series. So in the comic, Thor is fighting Silver Surfer. Hulk's fighting Silver Surfer, Thor, in the arena. In the animated movie version of World War Hulk, Hulk is fighting Beta Ray Bill in the arena.
Oh, I didn't know.
So
we can talk about that later, Michael, but World War Hulk, the smartest, you know, humans got together and said, Hulk's too big of a threat to Earth. We're going to secretly shoot him off into space and not tell him and not get his consent.
We're not going to tell him.
No, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but the ship tragically goes off course and lands in the wrong place. Go figure, Reed Richards built another spaceship and launched it into space, and it did something unexpected.
Shocker there.
So anyway, circling back to Thor Beta Ray Bill, I believe that is then where, at some point in that series, is where somebody... They make Stormbreaker. I think that's what that guy's doing at the beginning of Thor 337. He's making Stormbreaker the hammer. And if you'll remember, Michael, Stormbreaker from the Marvel movies, Beta Ray Bill gets Stormbreaker and Thor gets Mjolnir back. So they both have their hammers and they both have the powers of Thor.
I wasn't calling it Mjolnir. I was calling it Mjolnir.
Mjolnir?
Mjolnir.
Isn't that a beer?
It was making me think of Mulder and Scully from the X-Files, and it was just easier to remember. Mulder.
She's like, Mulder?
When I was growing up, there was a lot of arguments about how to pronounce it, because you only ever saw it printed. You never heard anybody say it.
Yeah. How did you first in your head, Joe? How did you pronounce it first?
I was the nerdy kid who knew it because I used to read about Greek mythology.
Of course, I used to read at the library.
I always checked out all of the Greek mythology and Norse mythology books. And the Norse mythology books, when they had a word like that, they would put in parentheses, here's how to pronounce it. Like Midgard. Midgard's not a hard one, but like all those four things. Midgard. How do you pronounce that?
Jotunheim?
Midgard?
Jotunheim and all those things?
Jotunheim.
Yeah. So, Michael, that doesn't surprise either one of us, does it?
No. Obviously not. I was a kid at the library who looked up the phonetics.
Directly out of the mythology from the ancient Norse.
And he probably always corrected everybody else when they said it, too. Joe, is that true? Did you bully people with your pronunciations?
Have you bullied people with numbers and pronunciation lately?
I was a normal 11-year-old kid, and I pronounced it Mjolnir.
I was a normal 11-year-old kid, and I didn't read any of this. I didn't know what this word was.
And so my favorite pronunciation is that actress from the first Thor movie when she says Mew Mew.
Mew Mew.
She's like, Mew Mew! I think it's great because she's not wrong. If you say it really fast, that actually sounds like that.
Yes.
Because that's how you're supposed to do it. What is the correct pronunciation, Joe?
Mjolnir.
Mjolnir.
I don't think the N is that. I think it's like Mjolnir.
Mjolnir.
You're not going fast enough. Faster.
Really fast. Mjolnir.
I couldn't do it fast when I was a kid. Mjolnir. Mjolnir. I got to practice it in the mirror.
But I always said Mjolnir. So...
Michael, for someone who didn't read the book, you're having too much fun right now.
I'm just like thinking about someone listening to this, and I'm like, we're spiraling out of control. We've been talking about this for 5 minutes.
All right, well, let's get back on track then. Why don't you take us through Thor number 1 through 4 is what we read from the 2020 series.
Yes.
And every episode or every issue has a giant WTF moment in it, which is awesome.
I thought these were really good. So what I loved about them is that each of them opens up. So I don't know about you. You probably, Mark. Were you a Lord of the Rings fan?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So you know how there's the one that they always have like the voiceover of the lady, and she has this really dramatic voice where she's like talking in the movies. In the beginning of each of these, there's this like very dramatic introduction that feels like that voiceover, and it's very profound. And then it cuts to like, here's the actual story. Like it sets the landscape and gives you all the drama. I thought these.
By the way, that was Galadriel.
Yes. Yes.
What was her name in the movie?
I was dying.
You're like, let me out nerd you really quick. Here.
How do you pronounce her? How do you pronounce her character's name? Mjolnir.
Mjolnir. It's Mjolnir.
All right, Michael, sorry, get us back on track.
All right. Get back on track. So the way that these issues start out basically is Odin has passed and is gone, and Thor has assumed the throne in Asgard, and he's kind of bored, right? Like, he's not really that interested in ruling, but he's sort of the way that this one, that the first one opens up, his hammer is like making its rounds to all the different planets, and his hammer has like a rainbow shooting out of the back of it, which I thought was awesome. And basically he's like sending a message to all the lands that, you know, he's ruling things now. And it ends with like this, let there be peace or let there be thunder. And then boom. Yeah. Which I thought was really cool. Again, I thought the setup of each of these was really, really, was really, really good.
And then boom for real. Cause it actually turns out the reason it was flying is because threw it from like billions of light years away to just kill a monster.
Yeah. Okay, well, so I'm going to stop really quickly though. He has two ravens. He has these two pets that hang out on his shoulders all the time. This was new for me.
They were his father's ravens, Hugin and Munin.
Yeah.
Hugin and Munin.
Mjolnir.
Mjol and Nir.
It's pronounced Cerebro.
Yeah, those he inherited those when his dad passed on. So those were whoever's the all-father gets the ravens.
Right. And one sits on each of his shoulders at his throne, and they take messages places for him to and from because they can talk and they can see things. He sends them out on missions, and they come back and talk to him.
Yes. They're like carrier pigeons.
Except they can talk, and they're smart.
And they're not really ravens.
Yeah, I did learn that in one of the later episodes. I was like, they're not ravens, but they look like ravens. Something's going on here that I'm going to need to dig into. But
they're so raven.
You did.
They're actually a pair of tiny
spins. You did it. Well, so what I thought was really interesting in this first one, Thor is, you know, I guess somewhat typical, right? He's this like big, beauteous, long-haired, bearded man, and he's got a hairy chest and got these cool crows. And
sounds familiar.
One of the first.
I get that all the time.
One of the first things he does is that he like remodels Asgard. So like his dad, Odin's Asgard was like really shiny and like very like pristine, and his is like stone and wood, and he's got like ram's horns on his head. It reminded me of like Berenstain Bearland. It was like the Asgard.
I didn't know that's where you were going with that. Berenstain
Bears. I did not. That's weird.
Is it pronounced Berenstain or Berenstain? Was it pronounced Mjolnir?
See, he's correcting us again, even with the Berenstain Bears.
I think it's pronounced Mjolnir.
Well, yeah, and then also, I feel like you need to back off the Diet Cola or whatever it is, because I think I'm the only one here drinking, and you're way more out of control than I am. Get it together.
It's pronounced Boromir Bears.
Sorry, my Advil's kicking in hard.
Stop control.
Oh, shoot.
So, hold on. I'm going to ask this because I feel like sometimes I'm a spoiler because I think I don't know when something is new or not new. These are the new Thors, but like, how new are they? Are we worried about spoilers when we tell people?
This is the new series, but they're already on issue number. So issue number one came out 6 months ago.
Oh, whew. All right.
Yeah, it's 2020. Well, yeah.
Okay. So I think there's less risk, but the big kind of like thing that happens in this is all of a sudden a very wounded Galactus shows up in Asgard.
Well,
he just kind of knocks and, hey guys, so do you get doing in there? anybody around?
He's
he
very
crashes
polite.
To the he planet.
Comes, he comes causing, bringing flowers.
May I be entered into Asgard, sir?
Well, and he comes with a message. That's pretty scary, right? It scares the crap out of everybody that the star plague, the great black winter, is coming. Now, I don't really know what that means, except that Galactus, who is seemingly invincible, right? Like, in my experience, which is very minimal, is not able to really be killed. He has seen a death before, and it was because of this black winter. And so...
And by the way, he has just crashed to Asgard mortally wounded because this Black Winter thing just kicked the crap out of him.
Thank you. I was dying. Like, you're burying the lead. He came crashing out of the sky. I literally, my jaw dropped when I turned the page.
We've never seen Galactus get his ass whipped before.
Well, I mean, we didn't see him get his ass whipped, did we?
We've never even seen him get injured. And he's comes crashing to the Asgard turf.
I guess that I just don't have like the 30 years of buildup of like waiting to see Galactus getting his ass whooped. I like am on my conscience. So you for me, I was like, oh, he's hurt. He's here.
Right. He's hurt. He's hurt.
He's injured bad.
He's like, right. His arm's all busted up. It's like, oh, he didn't get his ass whipped. He's like, oh, you think this is bad? You see the other guy. No. He's like, half destroyed by whatever this thing is. And you read Secret Wars, you know.
Yeah.
The guy who's eating planets.
Well, okay, but so
I always wished, though, that he ate planets like an apple. He just pick them
I
up.
I told you that was how I... You told me about Galactus long before I ever saw him in a comic book. And you described him as somebody who ate worlds. And in my mind, he was always, like, eating them. Like, physically eating them. And it was very weird that I learned that that's not what happens. That's not how he does it.
Right. I thought it was more like grapes.
Num, num, num.
You just take the...
Yeah.
Put a couple in your mouth. And it's mostly water.
I thought it was more like corn on the cob.
All right. So maybe it was not... Maybe for you, it disturbs me how you equate freedom with eating cheese. To eat a block of cheese like an apple.
Cheese the size of a car battery.
Anyway, Michael... Yeah, so maybe it did not have the impact on you that it did on me and Mark to see Galactus. Like, you've never seen him, like, scratched before. And now he's
Like, I literally sent this. You can't look this on the podcast, but I sent this to Joe.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the heck?
What's happening? Well, and Joe's and description of this, the...
And you translated this to, he knocks on the door of Asgard.
He crackooms? Is that how you say?
He crackooned.
He crackooms. A
giant explosion. He's not knocking on the door like, hey, anybody want to hang out? Watch a movie? No.
You know, stream some Netflix.
All right, Michael, we've given you enough hard time. Are you duly chastised now?
Honestly, like, this whole day has been that. So, but that's not the end of it.
No.
He has, now there's a mission, right? So Galactus is like, the Black Winter's coming. I'm the only one who can stop it. And I got to eat these five awesome planets if we're going to make it. And Thor's like, well, I'm going to help you. And I'm going to try to protect the people on those planets or the beings on those planets.
What you're probably not aware of,
yeah,
is because Silver Surfer shows up, but he's all black in this one.
He's in the first one?
He's in either the first or the second one. He looks like
I think it's Thor 2. I think he's in Thor 2. Yeah,
he's not in the first
where
one.
They reveal not only him, but they talk about there's five super nourishing superfruits.
Superfruits.
That they're basically super smoothies with antioxidant boosters that they've been hiding from him because they will make him super powerful. They're like five super planets.
Right. And if he eats them all together, cool. It'll be like he had some Red Bull.
He had like Red Bull and Airborne on an emergency.
And a Four Loco chaser.
Right.
And with an avocado.
But the reason that I bring it up is because Silver Surfer and some of the other characters you see in the comic are what they used to call Heralds of Galactus. Galactus didn't just wander around looking for a planet to eat. He would give these people, like Silver Surfer, some of his power. And their job was to fly around the universe and find planets that he could eat.
But they didn't eat them for him. They didn't, like, transfer to him.
No. Okay. Their job was, and right. I believe Silver Surfer's origin
was
so Galactus
know came I didn't any of them.
Sorry. Galactus came to eat his planet. And he's like, don't eat my planet, but if you give me powers, I'll go find other planets for you to eat.
So, importantly, probably, I don't actually know anything about the Silver Surfer. I know he has to do with the Fantastic Four because they had a movie called that. I didn't watch that movie, and I don't know who that person is. But he really was on a surfboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it was the 1970s when he was created.
He wasn't on the water. He was just like hanging out on a surfboard.
If it was the 80s, it would have been a skateboard. If it was the 90s, it would have been one of those, what are those things Segways. Called? The that
segue. He flies through the universe on his Segway. But anyway, these beings are called Heralds of Galactus because he gives them some of the cosmic power so they can fly around the universe and find him planets to eat, which is why if you didn't get that, maybe you didn't have your mind blown by the other big moment, which is he gives Thor some of his power and he says, you're my new herald now, Thor.
You're the Herald of Thunder.
Right.
But I did not know any of that context to help me understand.
Like, whoa, Thor is now a Herald of Galactus who has to go find these planets for him to eat.
Like the power cosmic that Joe talks about, just a fraction of that makes you one of the most powerful beings in the multi-universe. And he just gives that up to a little bit, you know, because it's basically he wants why go through the energy of finding the next planet when I can have somebody do it for me?
Yeah, it's like having a scout. It just makes sense. It's just smart.
That's right. Yeah.
Why do all the legwork on your own? You have to delegate. Right. Yes.
Because he's always hungry. He has this
leadership.
Insatiable hunger, right, Joe, that he always has to do. So he's like, if I'm hungry, I mean, when you're hungry, you don't want to move around. You just want to sit there and have somebody go get you food. Like, that's what a herald does.
Right. And if you'll remember back to Secret Wars, that's why he wants to beat the Beyonder. He's like, I'm going to go kick the Beyonder's ass, and I'm going to get my wish, which is he's going to make me not hungry anymore. And I won't have to eat planets.
And I always think I should have a T-shirt that says, feed me and tell me I'm pretty.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. So back to the Thor action. Thor becomes the Herald of Galactus, and he's going to go find the five super planets that'll make Galactus powerful enough to defeat this Black Winter, which apparently, am I remembering this right, destroyed the universe Galactus came from originally, and Galactus was the only being left from that entire universe, and that's why he's so freaked out the Black Winter's coming for this universe.
That's right. And Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, sorry, Michael, was that also another reveal? Like, we don't know what killed Galactus's former universe. Like, did we ever know that before? I don't think so.
I think that we knew that he was the only survivor of that entire universe, but I don't think there's this thing called the Black Winter. No.
Yeah.
Did you like the beginning of the issue when the Black Winter destroyed the DC universe?
Yeah. Yes.
Like, they had gods on their planet. God of Speed. God of Emerald Light. And it's like, oh, yeah, Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, they're all dead. I liked it. So
that's good.
What were some of the other big, stunning moments then as we went along this story? They're out there looking for planets. They find a planet, and Galactus wants to eat it right away, and Thor's mad at him. He's like, you gotta let the people get off this planet, dude. And he's like, I can't, I'm
so
too
he,
hungry.
Like, he hooks up the Bifrost, man, and he sends all these beings back to Asgard. And then you do get, like, a brief snippet of Asgard with he's got, like, his crony, I don't know, I guess his cohort, I don't know, the drunkard,
Volstagg.
That guy, the drunk one.
That's right, Volstagg.
We need more kegs of ale. Need more.
Yeah, he keeps talking about needing more ale. And he's like trying to just, you know, funnel all of these beings and organize. And there was a Thori, a dog named Thori.
Yeah, the dog Thori.
That was new for me.
He, like, I know, bite Asgard. I like Thori. Thori's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a great, Joe, I'm glad you called it. I would have loved it, and I did. I mean, if you were sitting down and saying, like, okay, we want to do a really awesome Thor series, like, who needs to be in this thing? And it's like, okay, so Loki needs to be in it, so you need to have that whole brother, he knows him better than he knows himself, like he always did. So that was in there. Mm-hmm. Then you need to have, let's have Galactus in there, and then let's throw Beta Ray Bill in there, and let's make sure Sif gets in there.
Okay, right. So is Sif Idris Elba?
No, you're right. Sif is in the movies. She's the woman in the first movie where there's the three warriors, and the one fat guy is Volstagg in that movie. But Idris Elba is Heimdall, who can see everything and control the bridge. In this comic, I don't know how it got there, but Sif is doing that job. She's in charge of the bridge.
Okay, yeah. Because I was like, I don't remember his name being Sif, but she's doing what he did in the movie, so maybe she has multiple skills.
She got his job for some reason. Maybe he's on vacation.
And then you need to have...
Because women are really good at things.
Right. You need to have some tie into the Avengers, which was the very beginning of the first one, where he throws his hammer across the 10 realms, imbued with the Bifrost power, apparently.
Yeah.
And then kills that demon, and then the fact that Tony Stark puts a Sharpie on it, saying... Nice throw. Enjoy your
happy retirement. Yeah.
That was great. So, I mean, it was just so well done. It was just absolutely brilliant, I thought. It was so awesome.
What did you think of the battle between Sif and Thor when she's like, this is going to stop. You two knock it off. When him and Beta Ray Bill are fighting, so you're going to knock it off.
It just felt like, you know, like siblings or like your mom or your aunt being like, no, get the hell out of here. And Thor kept being like, you don't tell me what to do. Like, I'm the king. I'm the ruler. And she's like, yeah, whatever. Sit down.
Dude, the
like,
coolest thing was...
She's when, like, I'm not scared.
When he throws his hammer at her and then she summons the Bifrost and teleports his hammer away.
Well, that was a big... That was a... I don't know. Again, you have to tell me if it's a spoiler, but she throws up the Bifrost and sends the hammer off to Loki land, to Jotunheim!
I don't know, Joe, is that right?
Ask your coworkers, Michael.
Why don't you look it up in one of your cool mythology books, Joe?
Let me look it up here. It's pronounced Mjolnir.
But a big thing happens for like a brief second. It's not a big it's a big moment, but it's not a long part of the comic. It's not like a hot topic so much. At least not yet.
Am I right? Loki
picks up the hammer.
But that was more shocking to me than any of this Galactus stuff you guys are all spazzed out over.
There were so many shockers. Loki picked up the hammer. And then the we don't learn this in episode or issues 1-4, but the hammer is becoming harder for Thor to lift. So that's something that's interesting.
That's a theme that carries, right? He's saying it's just not as light for him as it used to be. So he's leeching powers off of Galactus, right? So is part of that it's like eating away at his worthiness to hold the hammer?
I think it started getting harder for him to hold even before that. And I think where they're going with it is as he has retired and become the king of Asgard rather than this warrior, he is becoming less worthy of a champion.
Or somebody else is becoming more worthy and needs to replace him. Like, that's kind of how I read into that. Like, so we're both right, is what I'm saying, but somebody else should be wielding the hammer is kind of what I got. Not that he shouldn't be.
Or they're just saying, I mean, again, when we start off this whole series, he's not being a great king. He's like not, his heart's not in it. He's kind of like sucking at being a king. So maybe the point is he's doing a crap job. And so the hammer's getting heavier because he's not putting his heart into it. So
Right.
It could be any of them. So. We're going to find out.
And then the other, awesome moment is that Beta Ray Bill goes through concussion protocol with Sif.
Right.
What day is it? Monday?
It's like, all right. Yeah.
So it's kind of because there's this kind of progression. Like, Galactus is eating a planet with a bunch of people on it. Beta Ray Bill's like, dude, you can't be. He thinks Galactus has enslaved Thor or taken over his mind for some reason. And so Thor changes back into normal Thor, gives up the cosmic power. fights Beta Ray Bill, beats him up pretty good. Sif shows up and is like, stop beating each other up. And Thor's like, can't tell me what to do, lady. She's like, yeah, I can. But she takes Beta Ray Bill back to Asgard with her, where he can recover. And then they go about their business of trying to find more planets for Galactus to eat. And Thor is pretty good at this point about making sure that the planets either aren't inhabited or he gets all the people off of the planet first. Right?
Right.
So
yep. Correct.
I read further than issue 4. So remind me, where does issue 4 kind of get through? How far of the story do you get through?
He devours all 5 planets, mm-hmm. with the 5th planet being basically killing all the people on the planet. So it's a very sad thing.
Oh, yeah, because that's the one where he shows up and the people still there. And he's like, screw you, Thor. I'm too hungry. I can't wait. I just got to do it now. The Black Winter's coming.
And the Black Winter was there. It arrived.
Yeah.
And so he had no time. And he bought like 14 seconds because with his one bolt of lightning.
Yeah. Can we talk about that really quickly?
Yeah.
So he like takes a strip of, I don't know, cloth or something, and Thor covers his own eyes and then buys Galactus the 14 seconds to devour the planet. And then at the end, like his eyes are, I mean, it's like his eyes got fried. Thor's eyes are like dripping out from that cloth.
No, he's just
those
crying.
Were tears.
Oh, he's crying.
He just killed like 3 billion people.
He's sad.
He was sad.
Yeah,
or it would be cooler if his eyes were melting.
His eyes were. Well, I looked at these panels a couple times because I was like, oh, he burned his eyes out with his own like lightning bolt. That's weird.
No, but I think the reason he covered his eyes is because they say Galactus told him, if you look into the Black Winter, you'll see your own death. So that's why he put like a blindfold on himself, so he wouldn't see his own death.
Well, so we did grace over in issue 1, Galactus seeing his own death. And what caused it?
And what is that?
Am I allowed to say?
It's
Thor. It was Thor.
Okay.
Yeah, he said Thor kills him. He said his death is Thor.
I mean, that's kind of a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He graced right over it.
Yes.
He did.
So
there are so many shocker moments. It's hard to keep track.
So Galactus has seen his own death, and it's Thor. And that's why when he gives him some of the cosmic power, he's like, I want to keep my eye on you. I got to keep you close to me, Thor. Your friend's close, but your enemy is closer.
Which, by the way, tons of shockers. Like, Thor's like, I'll take my cosmic, like, power cosmic back, thank you. He just sucks it back from him without Galactus's consent. That was another cool moment. But, Joe, issue four ended on Galactus about to confront the Black Death.
Like
the nothing.
Yes, nice. And Galactus is all glowing with all his power, and he's going to fight the Black Winter. So,
that's right.
Overall, you like it, Michael, for a newcomer?
Super good. I thought it was very good.
Mark, for hardcore comic fans? Enough?
I give it both thumbs up. I thought it was excellent. I'm going to give it like a 9.5 out of 10. It was great.
You're going to keep reading?
Yes, I am. The artwork was great. The writing was wonderful. Like I said, the thought process that went into how are we going to bring all these characters into it was just fantastic. And for old fans and new fans. So, I mean, it was great. It was wonderful.
Yeah. So highly recommended. I love it. It's not hard to find copies of the book now because I think it's on its like 7th printing. Every time I went to the local comic book shop and they're like, every time we get copies and they sell out and then they have to run another press run of it. So they're like on the 7th printing of number 1. It's super popular and I can 100% see why.
And it was, I read them a couple times, and a lot of times I didn't even read it. I just wanted to look at the artwork.
Yeah.
I think that's why they're selling out. You were going to try to get me local comic stores here where I live, and you were like, nobody has them.
Right. But they always like show up on New Comic Book Day because we'll get some. And the reason I wanted you to have physical copies is because it's cool. I do enjoy reading digital comics, and I never thought I would. That artwork is so amazing. When you see it on the printed page, I can just like stare at it and be like, this is amazing. I love it. I love this series. So, well, maybe we'll do another Thor episode sometime, and we'll recap the ending of this pretty amazing story. This story arc ends in issue 6. So I did read 5 and 6,
okay.
And it stays amazing all the way through issue 6. So highly recommend it. So before we go, Michael, any other questions about Thor, the Thor mythos? Any pronunciation questions we can answer for you?
I think I've had enough pronunciation education to last me a while. No, I don't think, I think we answered all my questions. I think we got to all the main topics and things that I wrote down, but I really enjoyed it. So it was great.
I have one question.
Tell us. Oh no.
Is it Adventures in Babysitting Thor or Chris Hemsworth Thor?
That's a real question.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy, who's the guy who plays Thor in Adventures in Babysitting? The criminal intent guy, D'Onofrio?
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yes.
Vincent D'Onofrio is not Thor. Come on.
Mark,
come on.
You're forgetting a Thor.
Body Shop Thor? Or
you're forgetting a Thor from this big, from the small screen, Mark, which is, ooh, Return of the Incredible Hulk Thor. Do you remember when Bill Bixby came back and made some made-for-TV Hulk movies? And it was Donald Blake. It's one of the worst. You gotta look it up. You can probably watch it online. It's like Return of the Incredible Hulk from the 90s with Bill Bixby coming back and Lou Ferrigno being Thor, or being Hulk. And the Thor in there, Donald Blake summons him. He doesn't turn into it. He taps his cane and Thor just shows up. And he's just wearing like a generic barbarian costume that you would buy at Party City. It's like fur with a big
plastic
belt and a Viking helmet. Yeah. And I'll always remember because it had the cheesiest line I ever heard in any TV show. Somebody comes to the door and knocks. I think it's some woman comes knocking on the door and Thor opens it and he's like, hello. And she's like, I'm looking for a man. And he's like, you have found one. She goes, no, I'm looking for a particular man. I am a particular man.
Okay, that's the number one. That one.
I haven't seen that one, but I trust it. I trust that it's winning.
There's another one where Daredevil's in it. So awful.
Oh my God.
All right, well that wraps up Thor for us. Who would win in a fight, Hulk or Thor?
Michael.
I don't know. Well, Thor's immortal, right?
Yeah.
Hulk's not immortal, so I feel like Thor could probably win in a fight against Hulk.
I'm going Hulk.
You're going Hulk? All right.
Because the longer the fight lasts, the anger he would get and the stronger he becomes. And I think, you know, you could easily say it'd be a stalemate at best, but I'm giving the edge to the Green Monster.
Yeah, but I don't know. I also think Thor could like outwit the Hulk. Like he gets angrier, and when he gets angry, he gets stronger. But depending on which Hulk we're talking about, he's not always smart when he's the Hulk. So there's ways to like outmatch him with your wits.
Well, as I was reading this, because I did go look and make sure these were available online, I found there is a Hulk versus Thor miniseries from like the 90s. So maybe that'd be a nice crossover potential if we read World War Hulk and Thor versus Hulk, and then you can that'll take up your full day. That won't be a short reading assignment.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't asking for longer reading assignments. Just to be clear, I was just pleasantly surprised at the brevity of this one. So
we gotta add Illuminati to the list, Joe.
Got it.
Illuminati.
Gotta add.
Yes.
Is Robert Langdon in it?
Kinda.
is Tom Hanks in it? What are we talking about?
I'll tell you who's in it. Mjolnir.
Oh, I can't wait. More Mjolnir.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today, guys. Thanks, everybody who stuck with us through all this nonsense to listen to
Sorry
it.
Sorry for the badness.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I think all things considered, we did a good job. I'm going to give that one 2 thumbs sideways. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. This is one for the ages, because this was a great comic that we read. So, thanks for joining us, everybody. Thanks for listening in. Again, you can find us on almost every major podcast platform. You can listen to Jeff's song at the end for more advice on how to find us. But if you enjoy the shows, please rate us. If you don't, please download them anyway. We can use any support we can get at this point.
Or just don't rate us if you don't enjoy it. That'd be great.
All right. Well, thanks, Michael. Thanks, Mark. Cheers.
Bye, guys. Cheers.
Bye.
And cheers, everyone. If you've got a comic you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know on Twitter, at Casual Comics Guy, at our blog, casualcomicsguy.com, or on our Facebook page, Casual Comics Cast. So until next time, stay safe and stay frosty, people.